What is up, fellow hoops handicapping homies? It's the Outkick Bets podcast. We're doing the NBA betting show today, Tuesday, March 5th. There's 9 games to discuss, and I got the homie David Troy to help me discuss them and hopefully land on some winning bets. Because after a solid weekend, I went 1-2 on Monday in the NBA, dropping my season-long balance to minus 12.7 units, which made me throw up a little bit in my mouth after saying it. I'm only 3 games above 500. The juice is eating me up. And it's always one step forward, 2 steps back with me, David. So I really need your help today. Hopefully,
let's get it.
You can talk me into some winning bets. I got 3 on my card, but only 2 locked in. So maybe I can get out of one of these bets or the one that I haven't locked in yet. How's your NBA gambling weekend?
I went 4-0 on Friday. I went 3-0 Friday with the 2-unit winner. And then I think the rest of the weekend I went 1-2, 1-3, something like that. I don't know. So the weekend overall was fine. It was profitable, but Saturday, Sunday were not good. Not particularly good, I guess.
Yeah, I hear you, man. But you're doing better than me. So hopefully together our brains can land on some winners Tuesday, because Lord knows I need them. Let's get into the slate. What do you think?
I like it.
I'm using this whole legal notepad model where I write down the scores of the games the night before, and then in the next column write the odds and see how far off my projections are from the sportsbook's projections. And I try to go based off of that. And I'm doing pretty good so far, but again, yesterday I sucked. So let's try to get back in the winning circle. The first game we're going to talk about, Orlando Magic at the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are 8.5-point home underdogs. The total is 207.5. I have the Magic winning this game by 6, 114-108. So that would suggest that I have more value on the over, according to my legal notepad model. But I'm not interested in playing this game because you don't really know what you're getting out of the Magic on the road, typically. And the Hornets' defense has been pretty good. They've been kind of feisty. So on first look, I'm staying away from this game. Is there anything that's jumping out to you here?
Not really a side or a total. I will say after the Hornets like went on their whatever winning streak it was, I don't know, 3-4 games, however many it was. But after they went on that run, they've now lost 4 in a row. And 2 of those were against Milwaukee, which you would expect them to lose. But then they played Philadelphia, who had almost nobody on their team, and Toronto, who has almost nobody on their team. Both of those games were fairly close, so they're still remaining competitive. But I don't know how you back them against the Magic, who seem to take care of business, even though they're not very good away from home. They're just 14-18 away from their home court. But instead of a side or a total, I would recommend playing Trey Mann under 20.5 PRA in this one. I brought this up, I think, on one of our last podcasts, that he was going over this total when he first started and doing this very efficiently. Since that point, over his last, 5 or 6 games, he has gone over this total once in his last 6 games. And it's going to be the points. So you could potentially try to do like over points and then under PRA and see if you can get them both. I wouldn't recommend it, but the thought here is 20.5 points against a Magic defense that isn't probably going to give point guards too many rebounds. It's decent enough against assists and is strong enough on defense against the scoring. Mann is only playing about 30 minutes a game right now. He hasn't hit double figures once in his last 5 games, 10 or more points, only twice in his last 6. I think he goes under 20 and a half PRA in this game. This is what I see on DraftKings. If you can find a 21 and a half, I would play that instead, obviously. But that's my look for this one, is man to go under PRA.
I would prefer the points. It's 11
to
and
go
a half.
Under his points.
Yeah. The under is heavily juiced at Pinnacle, but the over is heavily juiced at BetMGM, DraftKings, and FanDuel. So the sharper market making book likes him to go under his points. Like you said, he's went under 10 in 1, 2, 3, 4 of his last 5 of his last 6 games. And Orlando's got a great defense.
Yeah, he's not a very good 3-point shooter, and you're not going to really be able to get to the basket. You would probably have a much better stat for this, but like paint protection for the Magic than I would, but most of their points, that, you know,
funny you bring that interior up. I can defense, pull that up pretty quickly.
Yeah, their interior defense, I believe, is better for Orlando than their like outside shot defense, and man's not exactly a shooter, so that's kind of why I also feel like he goes under the PRA.
They're 11th for paint points allowed per game, so pretty good. I feel like I thought it was going to be better than that, but yeah, I kind of like Draymond under 11.5 points. I couldn't do the PRA, even though your point about the rebounds is pretty savvy. I just feel stronger about him not scoring here in this matchup. Orlando's fully healthy, essentially. Markelle Fultz is questionable, but he doesn't really matter to the line. Yeah, I might be able to get behind the Trey Mann play and add that to my card. The only winner that I gave out yesterday was over John Collins, 16.5 points. I don't want to talk about the bet that I placed personally, but the OutKick readers got a winning bet, so... all right, yeah, I like Trey Mann under 11.5 points. That might be my look here. Next game, Boston Celtics at the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cleveland Cavaliers are 8-point home underdogs. The total is 215. The legal notepad model has the Celtics winning 122 to 110. So the best look here would be the over, according to my notes, or according to my my eyeball handicapping model, but there's a lot of injuries for both teams. Kristaps Porzingis is questionable. Jaylen Brown's questionable. Donovan Mitchell is out. Max Strus is out. And I probably didn't factor that enough to my earlier projections. I'm thinking I'm going to stay away. If anything, I'd bet the Celtics because they're just hammering people. And I think Cleveland's starting to struggle here down the stretch, and they're going to continue to struggle until they're fully healthy. What are your thoughts on this game?
I think if you take anything, you probably take the Celtics team total over 111.5. The way the Cavs play, obviously they play a little bit slower, they play better defense, but there's not really any stopping the Celtics when they want to score. They're really good at it. The one kind of hesitation I kind of have, and I'm not going to play this overall, but the reason I'm just sharing it is the hesitation I have is they've been at home for a while now, and now they're going out on the road and playing against the Cavs, who have been home for a game, just got kind of embarrassed by New York.
Yeah, they did.
So, yeah, I thought you'd like that one. They haven't really played in a close game either in a while. Their last three wins have all been by 20 points or more. Not quite. But they haven't been in close games, is what I'm kind of saying. But
they have a 138 offensive rating since the All-Star break.
Yeah, it's crazy. And
the next closest team is Denver with a 125.
Well, you know, the first two games of this season, the Celtics have scored 116 points and 120 points against the Cavs. And I think both of those games had Donovan Mitchell in them. And they might have been back-to-back games, if I'm not mistaken.
One of those two-game miniseries things, huh?
I think they were. But in any case, Those were obviously both at home for the Celtics, where they play really well. Maybe 111.5 is pretty easy for the Celtics to get to in this one, actually. The way they're playing right now, it's hard to go against them. That'd be my best look in the game. I don't know. Maybe I will get there. I'll have to do a little bit more research on it.
Yeah, if I were to play this game in any way, shape, or form, it's going to be a Twitter bet once the final starting five is in there. I'm not sure what to do with this game with Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis questionable. This feels like a spot to bet Cleveland, frankly, because I think this number is suspiciously short. Like you just said, the Knicks embarrassed them on their home floor, and then the Celtics just scored 140 at home against Golden State. All those makes this line suspicious, and it just feels like just, I don't know, a good just like blind gambler bet to like fade Boston off of that performance and back Cleveland off of that off of their terrible performance. Does that make sense? It's more of like a football bet, right? That's kind of something you would do with football, where it's like team just went nuts on Monday Night Football, scored 50 points against a really good team. Now they're going on the road against a Cleveland team that laid an egg at home. It's like usually you would just bet the team that sucked the game before. But in the NBA, you don't usually use that same type of logic.
Yeah, you can't necessarily, because the Celtics are, again, they're really good, and the Cavs are without their best player. I think I may have just convinced myself to get on board with the Celtics team total, though, because I was just looking at their entire schedule, and they've only scored fewer than 111 points, or 112 points, actually, 12 times on the season, meaning they have scored 112 or more points in 80% of their games this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just all of the lines and spreads look suspicious here.
Yeah, I agree. It could be a trap spot. The Celtics, again, coming off a road or a homestand, they have Denver next, who they should be looking forward to playing, who they lost to the first time. But Cleveland plays tomorrow as well. So if Cleveland doesn't keep this game close, they're going to get blown out in the second half. And this is a TNT game, so you would figure that the Celtics will probably show up, play well. Tatum has been playing well, and he's going to want to play really well on these nationally televised games, because he wants the MVP, and he actually has a path to it now that Embiid is out. And again, a bigger one is going to be Thursday when they play Denver, but I do expect them to probably come in here, take care of business, and score pretty effectively. I'll make it official. I'm going with it. 111 points over 111.5 points for this one.
Yeah,
for the Celtics.
The more you talk about it, the more I just feel like the Cavs are going to cover this number. They got the Boston's got the Nuggets on Thursday. Yeah. I completely forgot about that. This number shouldn't be -8. That kind of suggests Jaylen Brown and or Kristaps Porzingis are going to miss. If that's the case, I mean, Cleveland's defensive interior can have obviously a really good game, and maybe Cleveland steps it up without Devin or Donovan Mitchell out there. I'm not going to officially play it just because the Boston Celtics are a freight train right now. They're just crushing people, and I have them winning the almost called the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals. So I'm not interested in trying to be too sharp for my own good. I'm gonna put my money in other places.
Yeah, I get you. That makes sense.
One of which is going to be the team that embarrassed the Cleveland Cavaliers the other day. My New York Knicks host the Atlanta Hawks. They are currently 3-point favorites across the board. I bet the Knicks at -2.5. So closing line value makes me a genius. There's no way I lose this game whatsoever. there's injuries for both teams. Both all-star point guards are out. Well, actually, Trae Young's officially out. Jalen Brunson is questionable. If he plays, I love this number. But
of course, yeah.
This number is suggesting he doesn't play. And I don't think there's any chance that he plays in this game. But
yeah.
Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo, they do a weekly NBA podcast that I like. I like those guys talking hoops. They're whatever. I like when they talk basketball, and they made a good point. DeJounte Murray has been kind of disappointing this season. Like, I don't like Trae Young, and I don't like... I actually think Atlanta could be better without him on the floor, but that hasn't really been the case lately. Didn't they just lose back-to-back games against Brooklyn?
They did.
Which is quite embarrassing, and I think spending the last week in New York City with that nightlife doesn't help them, and I think New York's win over Cleveland is like a momentum boosting win. Like, that was huge, stealing that game against the Cavaliers, because the Sixers and the Knicks, given their injuries, both could fall into the play-in tournament. Like, they need wins. And so you're going to get a max motivation game. The Villanova guys, Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart, are balling out. I think Josh Hart has back-to-back triple doubles. Dante DiVincenzo is shooting his ass off. And even without Jalen Brunson, I think the Knicks have the scoring to kind of to get points against this shitty Atlanta defense. Bogdanovich, the Knicks Bogdanovich, can put it put up some points. Alec Burks, especially in the garden, plays pretty well. And you know, the Knicks defense is going to compete. And I'm just looking at Atlanta's roster. I don't know. Like, you're not getting anything out of Clint Capella unless Trae Young is out there to throw him lobs. Jalen Johnson's pretty good, but whatever. Sadiq Bey is a six-man, and Bogdanovich is better than him. Atlanta Bogdanovich, I like him. He's good. DeJounte Murray, I like him. He's good. But I think overall, like, the Knicks, even without four starters, are just a much better team than Atlanta, and their defense is going to show up in the Garden. And I'm going with the Knicks. Lane 2.5. Thoughts? Call me a fucking idiot. Do it.
No, I backed the Hawks the other day against Brooklyn, and I was very disappointed in their performance. I don't know, man. I can't get there with the Knicks without Jalen Brunson on the court. I just don't believe it. They have four guys in their starting lineup that are out for this game. Well, Brunson is a maybe, but...
Are you looking at the starting lineups, though?
Yeah, I mean, I look at... What do you mean?
I'm saying, like, side by side. Like, do you see, like, Atlanta...
You're saying still? Like currently?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, this. What I'm saying is this Hawks team is fucking buns. Like, roll out the ball. Let's go. Like, let's go. As a Knicks fan, I'm puffing my chest here. I think they're going to fucking hand this team their ass.
Hey, look, I'm a dad. I know what dads want for Father's Day. That is steak. World-class Omaha Steaks. Dads deserve top-quality American beef, and that's what they'll get with Omaha Steaks Deluxe Father's Day Gift. For just $89.99, he'll get mouth-watering Omaha Steaks, butcher's cut top sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha Steak burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code OUTKICK at checkout to order the deluxe Father's Day gift and get four additional burgers absolutely free. That's 24 unforgettable entrees for just $89.99 when you use promo code OUTKICK at checkout. Again, that's omahasteaks.com, use code OUTKICK and get deluxe Father's Day gift plus four free burgers today.
Look, I would have said the same thing about Atlanta versus Brooklyn, that Atlanta has pretty much every better player except for Mikal Bridges. In this game, I think Murray probably is the best player on the court. I think the Hawks' Bogdanovich is at least capable of keeping up with DiVincenzo scoring, who has played great this year. I've been pretty surprised by Dante.
He's better than Bogdanovich. How about that?
I wouldn't go that far. Not yet. But Jalen Johnson, I think, is better than Precious Achiuwa, and I think Clint Capella is probably better or at least equal to Hartenstein. So
all these guys want to fucking score, though. None of them are glue guys.
Oh, look, I get it. Nobody wants to play defense on the Hawks, but
no one wants to pass.
When you don't have the the team that you're looking for with the Knicks, the regular team. Well, I mean, if Brunson was healthy, what would the spread be on this game? Knicks minus six?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And you probably would be like, yeah, I think the Knicks cover that easily. But without him, now you're relying on what's the backup's name now?
I love Deuce McBride.
Yeah, Deuce. Yeah.
40% 3-point shooter. These MFers can't defend threes.
Not bad. Well, Murray is a good defender.
He's a good defender, but their team defense is whack because he and Clint Capella are their only good defenders.
Yeah. All I would say is I'm just not going to play it. That's all. Fair enough. I hope the Knicks win it for you, but to me, this one is just stay away from it with all the injuries and everything.
All right, let's go across the bridge. Barclays Center, the Brooklyn Nets hosting the Philadelphia 76ers. The Philadelphia 76ers are now 1.5-point underdogs. I bet them at minus three. And as I read it, I'm very angry and confused as to what had happened. So I'm going to refresh the page and see that, yes, Tyrese Maxey's out. I would not play this at the current number. And I didn't publish my Outkick Bets NBA article. So I get to take go ahead off. And take away the Tyrese Maxey is the best player on the floor, that whole article, that whole paragraph, but whatever. If you can hear it in my voice, I'm very angry about this turn of events because I didn't see Tyrese Maxey on any injury report, and he went from not in an injury report to out. Wait, hold on, let me click. Is his wife giving birth? Oh, concussion. Okay, totally. Concussion. He got concussed in his last game. Is that what they're saying? Yes. When he scored 39 or played 39 minutes and scored 24 points on 8 of 15 shooting, there was
must
concussion.
Have been the last minute of the game.
he must have bumped his head on his refrigerator last night.
Yeah.
The NBA is such a fucking joke, and I'm an idiot for trying to bet this every single day. The only thing is, I'm hoping for reverse closing line value bullshit, which if I had bet the Nets plus three and I got a minus 1.5, you know I'm losing this game. So I'm just hoping it goes the other way for me. I'm scrambling to come up with things to say. What do you think about this game? I'm so fucking mad. I mean,
so,
Jesus Christ.
Unfortunately, I have to say that I would probably take Brooklyn at this point with the rosters as they are. I mean, they've been playing better. They've been playing at home. 76ers are coming off of a big win over Dallas the other day in Dallas. They also play tomorrow again against Memphis at home. So, yeah, sorry. Brooklyn money line at minus 115.
Who plays tomorrow at home?
Philly.
Who do they play again?
Memphis.
Yeah. Do you know what the Sixers beat writer is? Pompey on the Sixers. Okay, let's go through his. His Twitter timeline. Sixers blaring BC Boys No Sleep Till Brooklyn at the start of shoot around. 4 hours ago, something about Tobias Harris again, breaking out of a shooting slump. Cameron Payne is questionable with an illness. Yeah, nothing about Tyrese Maxey. What does this fucking guy do for a living? Pompey on the Sixers. I might tweet at him just a middle finger emoji. Like, fucking worthless, dude. Honestly, fucking worthless. Great, 11 minutes ago, Tyrese Maxey will miss tonight's game with a concussion. He's returned to Philly for further evaluation. How do you, like, if your profession is covering the team, how do you not know the All-Star has a fucking concussion? How?
Yeah, I think it's more ridiculous that this was not, like, at least on the injury report in general. Like, you're telling me that they just now decided to send him back to Philly? I don't buy that.
Where he was last night, right? Or yesterday, they played in Philly.
No, they played in Dallas.
They did? Okay, excuse me.
So even that, then, like, unless he flew directly to Philly from Dallas, or they were planning to travel today, none of it makes any sense. There's no reason the NBA media is just the worst.
Yeah. They're so worthless.
This is also on the team, though. There should be some sort of injury report that says, like, hey, he's at the very least questionable for this game.
That's fair.
So, I don't know. I would just take the Nets and move on at this point because they've been at home. They should be comfortable. And I think they win this game. I don't know why they would lose it other than this is the last game of a road or a homestand before they go out and face Detroit. But if Brooklyn really wants to make the playoffs, which I'm not necessarily sure they do, but it seems like they're at least playing better under this new coach. They're only 2.5 games behind the Hawks right now for the play-in tournament. They need to win games like these where they're getting basically a gimme against a bad 76ers team without their two best players. This makes no sense. You got to take them.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm just like, this podcast is crippled right now by my just anger. I'm so mad. I just hope Tobias Harris gives Brooklyn the absolute business. We get one of those random Kelly Oubre 9 3-pointer games. I mean, Kyle Lowry, what am I saying? Kyle Lowry's pretty good for the first couple games he's been there. I don't know.
This does seem like a Kyle Lowry type game where he's going to be like, I'm going to do everything I can to get us to win because I'm from that Heat culture now and I'm going to prove to them that I still got something here and this is the type of game I came here for. So yeah, I could see it, but just don't find it realistic. And all you're asking me for them to do is win, not necessarily cover anything. Yeah, give me Brooklyn.
Yeah, but Brooklyn is so unreliable too. And that's really what I'm hoping for, is that Brooklyn just sucks more than Philly. What a fucking stupid game. All right, next one.
How fun.
It's just bullshit. Like, I spend so much time, like, looking at this stuff and double-checking it and, like, triple-checking injury reports and making sure I'm not missing anything. I figure out, or I'm like, okay, I'm not missing anything. We should be good to go. Let me try to get the best of the number now. I make a bet, and then randomly Tyrese Maxey's out.
Hey, whatever. You know what? Here's one side for you too. This is a 3rd and 4 for the Nets. They did just lose to the Grizzlies last night, who have an even worse roster than the 76ers. Maybe it was a look ahead spot. I don't know.
Let me read you. Let me read you exactly what I have written down here for this game on the bet that I thought I was going to be making or giving out. The Sixers need to win games like these if they want to stay out of the postseason play-in tournament. Philly is currently the 5 seed out east, just 2 games ahead of the 7 seed Miami Heat, and seeds 7 through 10 compete in the play-in tournament. Motivation aside, this is a much better spot for the 76ers. Fart. Brooklyn is on the second of a back-to-back after losing to Memphis 106-102 Monday. The Nets are 2-7 straight up and 2-6-1 against the spread on 0 rest days with a -15.0 scoring margin. Plus, the Sixers are 12-2 straight up and 9-5 against the spread as road favorites. Fart. Lastly, 76ers all-star point guard Tyrese Maxey is the best player on the floor, and Philly does a good job defending threes. First part, fart. Second part is what I'm hoping for. Brooklyn, 8th in three-point attempt rate. Philly is 7th in three-pointers allowed per game and 6th in defensive three-point shooting percentage. So half of this is complete dog shit. Erase Tyrese Maxey, erase Philly as home favorites, erase this as a much better spot. I want to punch Adam Silver in his stupid fucking head, that worthless pussy.
See, I think he actually hates it too. So that's the one thing that, like...
Yeah, like... He just holds the camera while... Next game. The New Orleans Pelicans at the Toronto Raptors. I can't... The Pelicans are 9.5-point favorites. The total is 228.5. My legal notepad model has the Raptors losing to the Pelicans 123 to 114. So I got nothing here. Kind of lean to the over because Toronto can't stop anything, and I think they're going to at least try to push the pace. But New Orleans' defense is pretty good. I am also a little more attracted to the over because I don't know if they're going to be locked in defensively considering they're playing a G League Raptors team. And again, I don't think they're going to have any trouble scoring here. But that's all I got in this game for now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the Pelicans blow the Raptors out in this game. They're more rested. They won by 38 in the first game that they played against them, which was a month ago exactly. What's his face? Was Siakam still on the team at that point or not? No, Siakam was gone. So Scottie Barnes had 17 points in that game. It was a Grady Dick showing with 22 in that. So I don't know. This to me is one of those games where the Pelicans will win probably by 20 or more. In fact, let's see what that is, and let's give out a sprinkle on it. I'm going to find the alternate spread for it. We can move on to the next one if you want while I look for this.
The Pelicans are one of the several teams I've banned this year because I just can't get their games right. The Lakers are another team. I lost with them betting against them last night. I keep going against my word and betting Lakers games anyways, but I'm not doing it with the Pelicans here.
I'm not going to do this sprinkle. It's not even worth it. So in order to bet just the regular spread, 9.5, it's -110. The alternate spread of -19.5 is only +295.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
No, it'd have to be probably like 3.5 or 4 to 1 in order for me to recommend taking that. So nothing.
Next game, little Texas shootout, San Antonio Spurs at Houston Rockets. Houston Rockets are 7.5-point favorites. Total's at 228. I want to bet the Spurs a lot down the stretch here, but Wembanyama is a game-time decision after injuring his shoulder against the Pacers in a game that San Antonio actually won. They won back-to-back games beating the Pacers and OKC at home, both by double digits, actually. I think this team's going to pile on some wins down the stretch, but if Victor Wembanyama doesn't play, obviously I want nothing to do with it. So that's all I got. I'm not laying it here with Houston, even though they've been great as a home team this year. And these teams actually split their first two games this season, with I think the home team winning and covering both, but nothing jumps out to me here initially. What do you think?
I don't actually mind the -7.5. I think they probably win this one. If Wemby plays, I don't know that I'd bother getting involved in it. If he doesn't and it's still at 7.5, I might play it late. You can rely on Houston at home. That is one true thing. They've had a little bit of rest, at least. More rest than the Spurs. This is their first game back at home. The last home game between the Spurs and the Rockets won by 11. So I think covering this shouldn't really be that much of an issue. So I'd only look towards the Rockets in this game. But again, if you don't know what Wemby's status actually is, I don't know how you really play this game. Because if he's in, you can get a better number. And I do think they still cover that if it is the original 5.5 that came out. And if he's out and it stays at 7.5, I think you're fine to play it that way too. So wait for his official announcement before you play. But I would only look towards Houston.
All right. Staying in Texas, the Dallas Mavericks host the Indiana Pacers. This is a rematch of a game from, I think, not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before it. The Mavericks were 2-point underdogs against the Pacers. I bet the Pacers beat them, I think, 133 to Hold on, I have it here. 133 to 111. Now that they're back in Dallas for this game, the Mavericks are 4.5-point favorites. Total is 247. I like the Mavericks. I'm going to bet the Mavericks -4.5 for whatever reason. Actually, I didn't lock it in because Luka Doncic is questionable, and I wanted to get your opinion and analysis on that. Do you think Luka plays?
Yeah, he's always questionable.
That's what I thought.
Ankle,
that's what I wrote,
and nose. Too. Yeah, so I wouldn't worry about him. He should be in without question. I mean, you never know, I guess. But I also like Dallas in this game. I think that they cover the 4.5. Pacers have not been playing very well. They are just 14-16 away from home, and they've suffered two kind of embarrassing losses in a row. And now they have to play in Dallas, which is kind of a challenge. They destroyed the Mavericks the last game, kind of embarrassed them in Indianapolis. So I think this is kind of a revenge game for the Mavericks. They should be able to get right now that they've been at home, and they dropped that last one against Philly at home that I was talking about before. So this is the second game of their little homestand that they got here. I think Dallas is the right side in this one. I think they win it, and I think they probably win it with relative ease. Pacers go home after this too, so it's the last game of their road trip, which is usually a spot to look to fade people.
Yeah, they split a back-to-back with the New Orleans Pelicans. Very similar situation. They beat the Pelicans 123-114 at home. Next game, lost 129-102. I think this is like a similar situation or similar outcome. The Mavs have a +3.8 scoring margin at home, but -2.8 on the road. Similar with Indiana, they're +5.3 at home, but -3.1 on the road. You know, role players shoot better at home typically. So I think Luka is pretty much a lock for like a 30-point triple-double. Kyrie Irving's going to get his numbers. Now we just need Tim Hardaway, Tim Hardaway Jr., I don't know, Josh Green, PJ Washington. One of these three guys step up and hit some threes, and I think the Mavericks beat up on the Pacers here. So,
yeah, I would say to your point about Luka triple-double, that's +240. Not bad value there. And I will go with my same comments I've said before. I'm not sure that the line matters. I think that this is one of those games where the Mavs either win by like 10 or the Pacers win outright. I don't know that there's like it's going to be a big sweat with the -4.5.
Kyrie Irving's been balling lately. Here's his last.
Good.
Yeah, here's his.
Well, I say that because people forget that he's like a good basketball player, and because of all the other random crap that you hear about him.
Yeah, that mostly he puts out there, for being fair.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, sure.
His point prop is 27.5. It's juiced to the over pretty much everywhere. His last, I don't know, some on games, he had 28, 19, 29, 30, 29, 29, 34. So what is that one? Seven games. So he's gone over this in 6 of 7.
Right? Yeah. RotoWire does something pretty cool where you can click on two dates and get their stats through that time. So over his last 7 games, he's averaged 28.3 points, 5.1 rebounds, and 3.4 assists.
Yeah. All right. Final game here on the card, Phoenix Suns at the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets are 9.5-point favorites. Total is 224. The Suns could be without Jusuf Nurkić. They're definitely without Devin Booker. Otherwise Denver is fully healthy and really playing their ass off post All-Star break. They look like they want to get the one seed, and it's, winning time for the defending champions. I don't have a play in this, even though I feel like Phoenix is probably the right side. Just cause they haven't been playing well, and this is like a buy low spot for them. They could score points perhaps against Denver. because they have the offense to score points against anyone. But without Devin Booker, it's hard for me to get to the window here on them, and I'm just not going to do it. Don't want to fade the champions, who are playing probably their best basketball in the last 2 years because their defense is just absolutely insane. So I'm staying away from it. What do you think?
Jokic triple-double is plus 160 tonight. And in all reality, he doesn't need to do that much in order to get it, especially if Nurkic isn't out there. I mean, he's going to be able to get the rebounds anyways. He'll get 10 points at least. So now you're talking about the assists. And they are going out of their way to make sure that he gets the assists again. So to me, I think you're probably better off just taking his triple-double prop. He hasn't had one in two games, but...
4 out of 6 since the All-Star break.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's... This is, again, the time where you start to say, okay, well, we got to get back into the MVP voters' minds. Let's go out there and get the stats. And I've brought this up before. Like, they go out of their way to make sure that Jokic gets them. Like, they'll keep him on the floor if he has 9 assists and say, like, hey, go out and try and get it. And, I mean, plus 160 is pretty good value for him, because usually it's usually about even or minus 110. I think Denver probably smokes the Suns, at least in the first half. You know, they're minus 5.5 in the first half of this one. On the season, Denver at home is 16-13 against the spread, so it's not like great. But they're 4-1 over their last 5. And the last 5 road games for the Suns, they're just 2-3 in the first half against the spread. And now you have to deal without Booker again, and you got to deal without you're going to have potentially no Nurk. So those would be the looks that I'd have for this one.
All right. I skipped over a game mistakenly. I skipped over the Pistons Heat. Heat are 11.5-point favorites. Totals at 217. Heat are missing Tyler Hero, Kevin Love, Josh Richardson. Detroit could be without Quentin Grimes. These are two of my favorite teams playing against each other. it's like my two brothers fighting.
Yeah.
Miami, I've won a bunch of money off of the last year plus. Detroit, I've lost a ton of money on over the last year. I think this number is too high for Miami. They usually don't cover these big spreads, but Detroit just finds unique ways to lose against the spread or not cover, and I'm not betting this one. I got nothing in this game. But I did want to circle back because it is on the card. Do you have anything?
No, I would lean towards the Pistons as well. The Heat don't care about covering spreads at all. And this is one of those games where
Pistons probably Detroit,
give full effort.
As someone who bets Detroit all the time, they are so frustrating.
Try. Yeah, they do. They try, though. And, I mean...
It's like kind of R.J. Barrett syndrome. It's like R.J. Barrett, you watch him, and it's like he makes a lot of smart plays, except he's just not good enough to finish them. It's kind of like, it's kind of the Pistons.
RJ Barrett also kind of looks like nothing is really going on in his head most of the time when you just stare at him. Like, he has like a blank stare on his face the whole time.
Yeah.
That kind of sums up the Pistons. But, I mean, I don't know. They played once already in Miami, and Pistons almost won that game. I don't know,
which probably means you should bet the Heat here, actually.
Yeah, this is also a 3rd and 4 for the Pistons. They go back home and play Brooklyn in a couple days. I don't know. Just don't bet this game, because it is possible that the Heat could cover it, but it's also really possible that they just don't care and they win by 7 because they just play around and then finally close the door at the end.
How do we feel about Jimmy Butler props? Oh, 22.5 points is his points prop.
This is one of those games where I have a hard time with Butler, because a lot of times I feel like these are the games where he'll either go for 40 or he'll go for 10, because he can get 40 against the Pistons, but then at the other end of it, it's like these are the games where he's like, well, my team doesn't really need me to do anything, so as long as we win, I don't care who scores.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, that sums up our NBA Tuesday betting show here. Wednesday's got some pretty good games, too. Maybe we can pencil in a little rendezvous for tomorrow. Hopefully, I don't get crushed and feel like shit about myself tonight. But I am betting the Mavericks -4.5. I already have the Knicks -2.5. I'd be willing to play it up to 4. If Brunson plays, I'd play it up to 7. I bet the Sixers -2.5. I'm moving forward. I'm just gonna bet the 76ers and just be like, whatever. They're gonna figure it out with Tyrese Maxey. I don't know. I guess what I'm getting at, dude, is my bet is part backing the 76ers, but a lot of just fading Brooklyn. Like, they kind of suck. They definitely suck. What bets? Oh, and Trey Mann under 11.5 points. What do you like tonight?
So I think the one that I'd probably say that I talked myself into in this one is Celtics team total over 111.5. I think that's a good look.
All right. Well, best of luck to you guys. Whether you fade or follow us, we'll be back later this week, if not tomorrow, Thursday or Friday. So just pay attention to the Outkick Bets podcast feed. I'm connecting with the homie Dan Z to talk about the Arnold Palmer Invitational on the PGA Tour. That's the next Outkick Bets podcast that'll be hitting the feed. Make sure you follow David on Twitter at FuturePrez2024. You can buy his NBA season-long betting packages, which have been profitable as of late, at beatingthebookie.com. Follow his other betting content and advice at outkick.com/betting, where you can also see my stuff. Hopefully, I can win us some money in the NBA. Not feeling great about it, but whatever. Let's go, baby. Let's gamble.
You got this.
Till next time. Peace.